All right, 1815. First of all, thank y'all for this semester. Enlightening, productive, everyone contributed, and kind of like we're all one body here. All right, we all have our parts, and all are important. And thank y'all for that. Proverbs 18:15. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Well, we've got two knowledges. So the mind of the prudent, what? Acquires knowledge. And how we learn how you acquire knowledge? How you acquire knowledge?
Reading, asking.
Reading, counseling, okay? Meditating on the Word.
And the beginning of it is having the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And what do fools despise?
No. Mm-hmm. Wisdom.
Wisdom and discipline, don't they? Mm-hmm. Okay? Why would they despise wisdom and discipline of fools?
But they think they know everything already.
That's right, isn't it? Okay? There's no authority higher than them, in a sense, isn't there? Okay? And we've seen a lot about fools, haven't we? These many, many chapters. All right. And the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. And they listen, don't they? Okay, and listen to others. All right? That's what the wise does. And 16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Okay. A man's gift makes room for him. If you're benevolent in your actions, what does it tend to do with other people?
Open their hearts and open their, you know.
Opens hearts, opens doors. I mean, just as a general thing, we're not talking bribes or anything here. You know, if you've got people that, you know, makes gifts for others, it tends to open doors, gives you that sort of thing. And the second part is benevolence and brings him before great men. Well, if you give gifts and people recognize that, that's what happens, isn't it? You recognize for those gifts of charity or benevolence or whatever it is. And so therefore, it's okay if someone helps others, even if it's, you know, even in a public way, I guess. Okay? But it makes room for him. So there's room for using that person as an example. Okay? For giving good gifts. All right? Benevolent action.
Yeah. In Genesis 14 and Hebrews 7, it talked about Abraham, and he gave a tenth to Melchizedek, who was king of Salem. Jacob, when he wanted to appease Esau, sent a gift ahead. You know, so that he was afraid that Esau was going to be angry because of all the things that had transpired in the past. And Abigail sent gifts to David and his men, you know, tried to appease his anger because he was on the way to destroy everybody.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's not...
It makes room for their influence, is what you say, or their future instruction, or just to make them... respect them. But bring them before great men is really the point of it.
At least they will give a hearing. Mm-hmm, you know, David gave a hearing, yeah, to Abigail.
You know, just as a sideline there, you see companies, whatever, giving contributions to politicians. But, and I was in the political realm. And we never viewed it as bribes or anything. I mean, they give gifts, you know, whatever it is. You know, but it gives you a, you know, you call, it gives you an ear. You know, give a call, hey, what do you think about this? Okay? Or, you know, what did your competitor do? You know, how's the industry moving? That kind of thing. Now, you don't take one source, but you certainly, a gift will help you in that. But this is a different realm here. 17. The first to plead his case seems right, until another comes and examines him. Well, what's that one? You ever seen a debate in high school or college? If you never have, they're very interesting. A biblical debate, even. Okay? They used to have those. I go to more than a few of them. Even now, you can read them now in books, biblical debates. But this idea, the first one to plead, it seems right. Yeah, that seems right. But the other one stands up and says, whoa, let's look at that from another angle. Then they usually have, you know, back and forth, you know, 20 minutes and a 5 minute, it goes back and forth. So it's just an idea here that when you judge things, you need to listen for all sides or gather all the evidence, don't you? The first, what about gossip? I'm just going off the rail here a little bit. The first one who brings something to you about somebody, oh, that's it, that's the truth, that's all the story, maybe. Okay, I use that word gossip to put in that realm. Same idea, isn't it? Okay, so just the idea of susceptibility of people to make judgments. The cast lot puts an end to strife and decides between the mighty ones. What's about that? That's a strife. And you can make a decision with lots. Okay? Even with mighty people can do that.
You know, when they were dividing the land, they did it by lots. They cast lots.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention the apostles. Okay? And a couple of things observe here. When would you cast lots? Why would you cast lots between people?
Because it's a disagreement.
Okay, there's something that needs to be resolved, isn't there? Okay?
The soldiers wanted a piece of Christ's robe, and so
they... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the parties involved, it seems to be the fairest way to resolve the issue, isn't it? That's how you get to that point. I was reading the paper a few weeks ago, in some school district in another state, They had a school board election, I think that's what it was, and they had a tied score. And guess what they did?
That wasn't some other state, that was here in Texas.
It was in Texas,
that
okay.
was in Katy or Sugarland, when they threw the dice?
Yeah. Okay. That was in there, if you remember the rest of the article. But they didn't use a coin, they didn't draw straws, and they didn't pick from a hat. Because that someone else had to touch it, mm-hmm. besides them. And all those points. Like, you know, a football game, they flip the coin up there because the referee touches it. So they decided on dice. Mm-hmm. The highest number. Interesting, okay? So, and that's not a bad idea, all right? I mean, if they wanted completely fair, so fair is resolve an issue, all right? And sometimes you may not have
a re-election.
Huh?
How about a re-election?
Well, that cost is expensive. Okay? And that's part of the rules anyway. Well, you know, going into an election, if it's a tie, you know, that's how you resolve it. That happens a lot. Okay? We're just talking about casting lots. And you can do it different ways. And that you can end strife, you can decide decisions, whether it's fair. You may have all the evidence sometimes. You know, let's flip a coin or something like that. And that seems to be the fairest way to do it. All right? If you lose, you should abide by it too, shouldn't you? If you agree to something, like a handshake or an agreement, should abide by it. So we're just saying that there was an election that they wouldn't use a coin, they wouldn't use draw from a hat, they wouldn't draw a straw because somebody else touched those items. Like a football game, the referee flips it. So they'd dice each, so the highest number on the dice is the winner of the election. Interesting. Okay. All right. 18:19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a citadel. So if you've got a brother, let's say a family member, okay, and he's offended, that betrayal of that family member is really hard for them to get over that. Is what it's saying. It's hard to get over the family marriage. It's hard to be won than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a citadel. The disputes you have are just like that. In other words, I guess you'd say these bars are kind of like a prison. And to get over them, to come to forgiveness, I guess you'd say. All right? It's really what we're saying here.
And it also seems that a brother is more... A family member is more easily offended than
yeah.
someone who's not family.
It's hard, isn't it? Okay? So, when you offend a... I think maybe the point is with this one, is that generally, when a family member's been offended, disputes, wherever it is, don't expect it to be resolved in one quick discussion.
Right.
That's the point. Okay? As, what is it... who is harder to convert? Family member or non-family member? A non-family member, usually. Okay? Because sometimes a family member will have seen you for many years and all of a sudden they may have remembered one time you did something contrary to what you're trying to teach them. So you got the little hypocrisy thing. Okay? So a family is important. Remember, it's hard with families. 20. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. So this fruit of a man's mouth, it's what comes out of his mouth, satisfies his stomach. Okay? We're not making a point here on whether it's good or bad. It's just a general statement, isn't it? He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Generally, a man is, isn't it, or a woman. If they're saying something, you know, they're satisfied with it. They like what they said. Now, how do you judge if it's satisfied? Do you know it yourself, or do you see the reaction of another? Which one's the best indicator?
Their reaction.
Because actually you're saying something maybe to affect the actions of another, aren't you? Okay? Discipline or correction, whatever it is. But that's generally a comment on people. Okay? And the idea of food there is probably a nourishment or something like that. 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Kind of back to food again. All right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That means you can do good and bad things, can't you? We've seen none already. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Who love death or love life. Okay?
Well, we've also had classes where speech, you know, you have to be careful with your speech. I don't know about the food thing, but your words can do more harm sometimes, and that comes with the tongue and the death and life.
Yeah, the tongue, that's just saying murmuring.
Quick,
sure.
With your tongue.
It's a general comment again that if people like, if people love to promote life and goodness and charity and nourish other people, they can do that with the tongue, so they tend to love doing that. And some people like to deal with bad words and things that hurt people. Well, they tend to love that. That's the fruit of their lips. It's just a general commentary on that. All right? And so there's a reward or a punishment involved there. All right, 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Okay. I wonder if you could put husband in there. What do you think?
The Holy Spirit said wife.
Yep. Okay.
A wife that finds a good husband finds a wonderful thing.
You got a good wife that makes the husband good too, doesn't it?
Not necessarily.
But it helps. It helps a long way. All right. Who finds a good wife finds a good thing. But and obtains favor from the Lord. They're linked. They're linked together. Because if you find a wife, a man who finds, well, a husband who finds a wife finds a good thing. And what about obtains favor from the Lord or blessing from the Lord? If you found a good thing, that means she's a good wife, let's say. And he's going to react good, he views her as a blessing. And all that arrangement, how they treat each other and treat others, is something that God has set up. And the Lord's going to smile on that, isn't he? So you obtain favor from the Lord in that arrangement. Okay?
She was God's perfect answer for man's problem, which was loneliness. And so, you know, God, the favor, grace to man, is wife.
Yes.
Now, she can either be prudent, like in 1914, you know, it's from the Lord, or she could be contentious and rottenness to his bones. And so, you know.
Of course, if she's a good thing, I guess it's a good wife, isn't it? Okay, in this one. 23. The poor man utters supplications, but the rich man answers roughly. So we've got a poor man who, I don't know, he's respectful, he's humble. He apparently doesn't answer roughly, okay? He's kind of not milquetoast like Steve would say, but he's a man who's soft in speech, all right?
Tries to appease the other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, gain favor. But the rich man answers roughly, harshly. Why would the rich man tend to answer that way, to talk that way? Why would his tone of voice be that way?
He doesn't think he needs anything from anybody.
That's right. That's right. He thinks he doesn't need to appease anyone. I mean, he's kind of, he looks down versus others looking up. Okay? Gain favor. Arrogance is involved in it. See? All right? And that's something we need to watch out for. Okay? And he feels superior to a degree.
Well, he's had to be a man of wealth, he's probably been in positions where he's been in a position
instructed.
Of authority,
mm-hmm.
and instructive, and he's had to speak that way and doesn't know when to turn it off.
It can harshly be mistaken sometimes somebody who's in authority. They speak directly.
Mm-hmm.
It may be taken as harsh, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to have that tone to be an authority.
No, but I'm just saying some people do. They may have a good heart. They just talk direct. Okay? I'm not saying sugarcoat and all that, but just don't season it somewhat. Okay, so.
And then you've also got the hearer. If the hearer has a too tender of a heart, they're going to take it.
If that wise man is a... If the rich man is wise, he's also a wise man. And how will he take criticism? Hey, that was pretty harsh what you said. How would he take that? He's a wise man.
Consider it.
That's right. He'll take that as a learning experience, won't he?
Mm-hmm.
See? And that's testing of character, isn't it? Okay. All right. A man of too many... Number 24. A man of too many friends comes to ruin... But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Mm.
This is different.
Mm-hmm. It's okay, though.
A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Say the first part again.
A man who has friends must himself be friendly.
Wow.
Okay.
Should I just mark that out?
There's two.
Get a different version.
Liquid paper.
It literally means be broken into pieces.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Come to ruin, see.
May come to ruin.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can
match
it up with the second part.
The second part, there's also...
This is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, okay?
But then there's also a... But there is a lover who sticks closer than a brother.
A lover? You said lover?
That's what friend. L-O-V-E-R.
Oh. Hey, that's a good friend, huh?
It says
that's a friend with benefits.
It says
I don't think that's what they had in mind.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a downright translation.
I think that's one who loves.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah, we're not talking about homosexuality here.
Well, what we're dealing with here...
I didn't know that this is a man. This did not.
It says a man of too many friends comes to ruin. Okay.
Probably because it says closer than a brother. Yeah. That's why you think.
Could be a girl. She can have a friend that's closer than a brother.
Let's make the point here that we're talking about two friends or the same person in each of the two verses. And it says sticks closer than a brother or family member. We've kind of seen that before a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the point is, what kind of friends do we want? What kind of friends would they want? Friends that stick close, right? See? All right. And even the idea again that you can have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, than a family member. That's good to have. Because
it's kind of like the quality is better than the quantity.
Yes. Interesting. That's very good. Okay. Too many friends come to ruin. If you got too many friends,
it's hard to keep them all happy with you. I mean, you can't.
Well, with a friend, if you tend to know more about them, you know when they're in distress or mood changes. You know what I mean? The idea of being a close friend and helping that. See, if you got too many friends, what happens? Let's do this. An elder, would you make it? Would I'm just saying? Would two elders be enough for 1,000 in the congregation?
No.
Why?
Because they can't know because
there's too many sheep.
They can't watch 500.
Well, the point is that relationship can change, right? So I mean, it's not as good as it should be. Just like a man with too many friends. Okay, that's the idea. And it's not saying just have one friend, but it says be aware of that. Okay. And what is it? What's the deal? I've read that in your whole lifetime you really have what, 5 good friends in a whole lifetime. Interesting. Okay.
The prodigal son had lots of friends while he had his
Yes,
money.
He did.
Mm-hmm. And then when he spent all his money on them, he didn't have any. He did not. He didn't have a relationship with a person based on good integrity. You know, things that would nurture. A relationship.
Yeah, materialism really was the overriding point of friendship.
That's
coming up.
For what they could get out of the relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Instead of this friend who sticks close.
Yes.
No matter what, you can count on.
And then a brother. Then a brother. Uh-huh. I've talked before about a family member has somewhat of an obligation to do that. Okay.
Yeah,
first choice. Okay, good. All right. We're going to see here in a minute how that works with money. Okay. Proverbs 19:1. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Okay. This is one of those better than or better is. The better thans. So this idea of let's be poor and have integrity.
Walk with your head held high.
Yes. Then who is perverse or crooked or lies and a fool also. And the word integrity, and crooked tongue, and that perverse in speech is connotes the idea of honesty, doesn't it? It is what's really in view here. And we didn't say rich, did we? Poor man kind of somewhat implies that, but we're just saying, just be aware of that, okay? Humble living and integrity and honesty. God all wants it. Wants honesty and integrity, okay? Sound
values. Think of John Oakland.
I don't know.
Oh,
he was
the
one.
Was that
the
lawyer?
Yeah.
Was killed.
Yeah, I mean, he was about as deviant as they come, and as wealthy as they come, and as slip tongued as they come.
I'm sure a lot of lawyers fit in that.
Well, they get a bad rap.
That's the first thing I thought about.
That they really get a bad rap, but you know, there's
some good ones.
You think of all the people who work in the DA's office; they don't make any money at all, and by and large, walk in integrity and try to convict criminals. And then the ones who are making all the money, perverse lips, John Oakland.
You know, you you see that sometimes where I'm just want justice. I mean, I've been assigned this person. I just want justice. But if a guy, brutally murdered, 10 children. I mean, you know what I mean, or something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take that case. You can say you can decline it.
You can be assigned it.
Yeah. Well, you still decline it even after that. Sure, you can't, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, because you said you'd mm-hmm. take it like that. Okay. So maybe it's time to change cities, okay?
Change jobs.
Don't get a public defender.
but you see, sometimes it's interesting sometimes the case is taken. And it gets to be a game, I think, after a while. What loophole can we find?
There are people on the jobs. They don't have to be lawyers. They don't have to be politicians.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can just work for a company.
Yeah,
you can just work on an assembly line, and this will fit. Because mm-hmm. companies, your foreman may want you to do things, or he got to be foreman because he fits the second line. Okay,
yep.
But you don't get that raise or you don't get that position because you walk in your integrity.
That's right. Yeah. And usually, if there's no integrity on the job, there's usually no integrity anywhere else either.
No.
It tends to flow together. All right, I don't know what proverb that is. I just did it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. Also, it is not good, also it says, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs. Okay, first line, that's clean, isn't it? Okay, that's right. It's not good for a person to be without knowledge. You need to know things. And, let's just say knowledge to the point of wisdom. Okay, and putting that in action. But he who hurries his footsteps errs. He who hurries his footsteps to gain knowledge errs. How can
say what?
Knowledge is good, but he who hurries his footsteps to gain this knowledge errs. How can you?
To me, that would be cut corners.
Okay.
Try to.
Okay. We already seen one proverb where he tried to buy wisdom, didn't
mm-hmm.
it? Knowledge. Okay. If you have Bible lessons, let's say, okay, and you do it, in the last 15 minutes before class, or you've actually really studied it and looked at it, spent a couple hours on it, which one has better usage for you? What knowledge has better usage for you? Probably the one you ingested more strongly in your mind, isn't it? Okay? I remember in school sometimes, you memorize it all the night before. You don't have to test, the next day you forgot it all. All right. I don't know. I hope they don't get that again, That's when they started getting tested real good. They just kind of like compartmentalized, and then go to the next one. Of course, you had to keep reviewing every time on the test. That was harder. Okay? But it's just a general step there that don't hurry things, especially if you deal with knowledge of things to guide you in life. Okay? You'll tend to forget. I think that's probably what that deals with. And if you get this idea of hurrying things and doing things fast to gain whatever you're after, then you do have shortcuts, don't you? Okay? And you don't get the full impact of things, do you?
Doesn't this describe the person without knowledge, the one who hurries?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's when he doesn't have the. That's right. Okay.
Or the one that refuses. In chapter 1, it started with that. Son, don't run with those. They make haste to run, to mm-hmm. do evil.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, don't even get in their path.
It doesn't say he who hurries his footsteps. It says errors. Doesn't say fails or comes to ruin. Okay.
Sins.
Yeah. Okay. Number three. The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. I think we got the first part, don't we? Foolish man ruins his way. Your stubbornness or foolishness or whatever you have, or laziness or perverted speech or whatever it is going to ruin your way, isn't it? Okay, we got that. But what about this? And his heart rages against the Lord, or frets against the Lord. If his way is ruined, you see, I think this is the idea that he's blaming the Lord. The Lord is blamed for these calamities, and really they bring it on themselves. Lord, and his heart rages against the Lord. All right? I think that's the way to get that. All right? And that's probably what a foolish person would do, wouldn't they? Exactly what they'd do. Try to blame someone else besides himself.
Well, they don't have the fear of the Lord, mm-hmm. and that way they don't get it, you know. So it could be the result of the second line.
That's right.
The second line could be the beginning, and then, you know, his way is...
going to be ruined.
...is ruined because his heart rages. Out of the heart comes the thoughts and the speeches and what we decide our will to do, okay? And to me, you know... his heart rages against the Lord. He's foolish. He's not listening. And his way is going to be subverted. Because he won't listen to the Lord.
Sometimes you see people have calamities in their life. I'm talking TV or something. Great calamity. Why did the Lord do this to me? Why did the Lord let people die? Why did the baby... all that sort of thing. So really, they're really talking against the Lord there too, aren't they? All right, blaming God for that. Why didn't you? Why'd you let him die? So interesting. Okay, and that's what a foolish person would do. Four. Well, here's the idea: is wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend. Wealth adds many friends. That's a truism, isn't it? Okay, it tends to. What's the idea of great entertainers? They got a lot of friends while they're climbing their celebrity ascension and they're being great. On the way down, no friends. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, in the celebrity realm. But a poor man is separated from his friend.
That's like the prodigal son that Linda was talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Does it seem unfair? Does it enlist sympathy a little bit? Okay. So
you reap what you sow.
Yeah. Okay.
That's harsh. I'm sorry, but that's and our children had to learn that.
Yes.
You know, this is the product of what your choice.
See, and the poor man doesn't have the wealth to have many friends. So the separation from a friend, you know, means more. Means more. Now, I don't know how he separated that. It doesn't say why he was separated. Maybe he left. He found somebody with wealth. Okay. But maybe something involved there. But it means more to a poor man. Okay? It lends more sympathy. Number five. A false witness will not go unpunished. And he who tells lies will not escape. Well, they say the same thing, don't they? One who lies is an abomination of God, isn't it? And you're not going to escape. There's going to be punishment. And God's going to do that punishment, isn't he? Okay? I think this has kind of an end tone to it. There's going to be a punishment to it. So lies is important to God. And there's going to be a payment for that in the end. Okay? And false witness, that's exactly what they do. Whether they tell a half-truth or no truth. Number six. Many will seek the favor of a generous man. Kind of same tune here. And every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. Well, there's a truism in it.
Mm-hmm.
Many will seek the favor of a generous man. Same idea again.
Yeah, that's pretty much self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't many seek the favor of a poor man?
He can't give them anything.
That's right. Okay.
It's like you made a comment in one of your lessons. You know, when you win the lottery, everybody's your, you know, cousins, neighbors,
yeah,
brothers,
right.
Dogs, sisters.
Every man's a friend who gives gifts. Okay. Number seven. All the brothers of your poor man hate him. This has got three lines to it now. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends abandon him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. Okay. All the brothers of a poor man shun him. The family. The outcast. The black sheep. Or whatever, for whatever reason they don't want him. Maybe because he's poor. Because it says poor, doesn't it? He's a poor member of the family. How much more do his friends abandon him? Now, his family's abandoned him because he's poor. Now his friends abandon him. And he pursues them with words, but they're gone.
I think 6 and 7 go together. Because, you know, like you said, everybody wants to be your friend when you have money.
Mm-hmm.
Once that money is gone, they have no use for you, so they're just going to abandon you.
And in this one, it adds that other line that he talks to them. He doesn't have gifts to give them, but he talks to them. But the words are not going to convince them or change them. Interesting. Okay? So brothers and friends, it happens sometimes, and you can talk and talk, but they're gone. Okay? For whatever reasons. It's probably to be a poor. All right? We see a lot of that. Number 8. You doing something, Linda?
Well, I was thinking of that. I think it's Ecclesiastes. One of the things there where it talks about that a poor man with a wise word, you know, could save the city, but they won't listen to him. You know, the king won't listen to him. They would rather listen to the foolish ideas of the mighty. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's in Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. I know this poor yet wise lad is better than an old foolish king who, you know, no longer knows. That's in Ecclesiastes 4. But it's in Ecclesiastes somewhere that, you know, that if they just listened to this poor man with his wisdom, they would be so much better off and be saved. But they won't because he's poor.
In this case, if you're shunned somehow by your family and your friends, and you try to talk and explain whatever it is, okay, should it haunt you from that point forward? If you know, I mean, you've said the best word you can say. You're a person of wisdom and knowledge, and it just doesn't change them. Okay, and you desire that relationship. You shouldn't dwell on it. You don't go into deep depression because of it, do you?
No.
Okay? They're on your mind. But you still need to understand that it just happens sometimes. All right? It just happens. Okay. 8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. What's the idea there? It's an attitude. Is it a good attitude? You get wisdom, you love your life, you love your soul. I was thinking, man, that's probably, if you love your own soul and you got wisdom, does that build self-esteem? Surety in what you're doing? Sure does, doesn't it? Okay? And who keeps understanding will find good. Keeps on understanding. Okay? Grows, let's say, in wisdom. He'll find what in life? What's going to be good in life? If he keeps learning, keeps on the right track, he's going to find good in people. He's going to find good in life. He's going to have high self-esteem. And most of all, God's going to be pleased too in him. Okay? If you keep learning, keep maturing. Okay? Utilize your wisdom. All right, that's a good one. Number 9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. Well, that ought to take care of that one. Okay? False
same
witness.
Same as number 5.
Yep, sure is. Same as number 5. You lie, there's going to be a punishment. Now, this could be, you know, lying in court, or it could be from God. The point is, there's going to be a toll at the end of this one. Okay? not going to punish and perish. Let's see, number 10. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. Why is luxury or wealth not fitting for a fool or slave to rule? What's the idea? Is this something that happens every day? Is this a real exception? Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's a situation that you're not suited for. It's not, maybe not completely out of the realm, but it's not suited for. Wealth and a fool don't go together. Does a slave rule over princes? The king, so it just doesn't generally go that way. Just a truism, okay? But it can happen. We saw one proverb where the slave or servant was so good and so wise that he was given charge over the brother of the household, wasn't he? Okay. Number 11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. A man's judgment or discretion makes him slow to anger. Okay, I can see that. Okay. He's not easily insulted. Okay. He thinks. He's slow to anger. Weighs the situation. But the second part is, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. It is his glory. It's good for him if he overlooks an anger. Sometimes people can insult you, and you can either react to it or not react to it, or moderately react to it, right? So there's some glory involved in not reacting or overlooking a transgression or overlooking anger against himself, or you can deflate the situation too in the way you react to it, okay? So I guess all of this here is an example of self-control. Self-control, okay, on how you react to anger. Be slow to anger. If you have to, you know, just overlook something if it's not a big deal. 12. This may be it, too. Okay. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. King has power. He can deliver wrath. And if the king yells at you, you're in trouble. Okay, that's a lion that has teeth behind it. But the favor of a king is life-giving dew. So the point is, when you're before the king, don't provoke him. If you got a boss at work or a top sergeant, okay, you don't talk bad to him, do you?
Is that the king in heaven or fire?
You're not provoking the wrath.
Don't provoke either one of them.
Yeah, okay. So, that's some things there that father and son happened. So, anyway, keep these in mind. That's where we'll end it. Thank you all very, very much for the quarter.
I like number 16.
Okay.
He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. He who is careless in his way will die.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, that's what we've been talking about.
You could be a constructive life, or you can have a ruined life.